you can get on yours. That shouldn't be a problem, but it doesn't even matter because they should be done.
Both sentences just very briefly say kind of where you guys are at, like what's virtual, what's essential that you're providing. And then of course the meeting, we're gonna be focusing on the workforce piece in particular, and hopefully to have some good discussion around that. So if you can just say your name, where you're from, and I'm gonna go down the list from what was on the email invite. So I'm gonna start with Sheila Howard from JFCS Minneapolis.
Hello. So yeah, I'm the Career Services Director at JFCS. We have been working from home for about 4 to 5 weeks now. We're doing, like, our mental health counseling is all telehealth. We still have our Meals on Wheels program going on with a little bit of increase in the number of meals we're providing. Career Services, we're doing all virtual meetings right now. Some of our community events have been changed into virtual events, but otherwise all of our programs have transitioned into virtual.
Okay. Thank you, Sheila. Jerry, yep. Jerry, I got you next on the list. Jerry Rubin.
Hello, everyone. Jerry from Boston. We went remote just about 5 weeks ago, and transition. About 80% of our clients are engaged in our classes and coaching, maybe a little bit more than that now. So almost all of our classes are operating remotely, except for there's a couple of companies that have completely shut down. So, you know, company sponsored classes that we can't operate yet and may never, because they may be gone. Mm-hmm. But the vast majority are running and using probably three main platforms, but 15 different platforms for online learning and coaching. And then I'd say the other thing is that we, 2 weeks ago, we launched what we call our remote talent portal, which is really an online career center. Individuals can go to it, can apply directly to posted positions, that because we have an employer side and a job seeker side. They can download their resume into our back end, which is an applicant tracking system. And they can do a live chat or schedule time to meet with a coach. And we're helping people with both unemployment insurance and re-employment. And it's completely remote. And we're in our second week doing that, third week. And we're just gone public. We've been doing it internally for clients, and now we're pushing it out publicly.
Was it an easy transition?
It was like something that, well, this is true about everything that's happened over the last 5 weeks. We had a major plan technology. We have a 3-year technology plan. We're actually in the middle of a search for our first chief technology officer. Would have been nice if this had happened after that person was on board, but hey, what are you gonna do? We just basically collapsed 2 years of work into 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what happened, I would say. And we took 3 years of planning, and we did at least 50% of it in 4 weeks.
So, wow.
And mostly because we realized it just wasn't nearly as hard as we thought it would be.
Yeah.
But you know, not that it's easy, but we just did a lot. So like, we planned to have our applicant tracking system up next year, but we couldn't wait till next year.
Right.
And now it's running. So, and it's not perfect, but it's a whole lot better than the one we didn't have before at all.
Yeah.
It was quite a couple of weeks or four weeks.
Thank you, Jerry. It's like that. These are some of the silver linings in this terrible pandemic, is that it moved us along towards technology a little bit quicker than probably we were ready from a change management perspective, but it's good because we did it. Great.
And I think helpful is that the public is willing to let us have some glitches in this, because we're all just kind of reacting, and they're more forgiving of those little missteps as we're trying to implement these things.
That's right. That's right. Great. Now, I know we've got John and Jay on the phone. Do you, one of you want to go ahead for us from Jeff's perspective?
So let John, you start off and I'll pick up what you may have missed out on.
All right. About two thirds of our operations are actually up and running in person. So all of our home care, all of our residential services, our methadone clinics. While a major part of the workforce has moved to virtual and most of our, and in fact, almost entirely our employment and training area has moved to virtual work, we have a big part of the agency that's still up and running and people doing things out in the community on the front lines. As for our employment area, our college is pretty well totally shut down. We are able to do a little bit of work with students virtually, but in instruction has not been something we've been able to do, or certainly not direct instruction on in the construction trades or what have you. Our IT training is continuing to go forward, and we were able to transition that to online training. And our AmeriCorps engagement team is also up and running, although for them to be doing work in the community has been a little bit more challenging. Mm-hmm. Our CareerLink, our one-stop that we manage, has been closed, but we are doing quite a bit of work virtually with the team there. And our youth development programs are working entirely virtually. In fact, we're contemplating bringing on a cohort of new participants in one of our programs in a virtual format. So still trying to figure out exactly what that will look like, but working that forward. And then we are starting to see, and I'm curious if others are, we're starting to see, while there's been a lot from the government that's been incredibly supportive, state and local governments are clearly already starting to get ready for tighter and more difficult times. And we've had a relatively sizable training contract that was funded entirely with city general revenues put on hold, whatever that means. And we've had to furlough that staff until we know sort of more where that's going. So that's a high end. Jay, what did I leave off?
Yeah, I would just add to that group. We got the suspension that's behind the walls of the prison, and it's a 30-plus-year-old contract. And we're not clear as to whether or not that's ever going to come back. We were there until inmates started to come up positive, and then they locked down the prison and kicked us out, suspended us, didn't terminate us. So we have some hope that when things come back to normal, that maybe our contract will be restored, but we don't really know on that. And when John was talking about our Orleans Tech College, little bit of good news, we have kept our staff, with the exception of the suspension, we have kept all our staff on payroll. It's costing us a big penny, but fortunately we've got some really good reserves for now. We're going to have to make some strategic decisions if this thing goes on too long, but for now we're able to do that. Because we operate under Pell Grants and student loans, we were eligible for U.S. Department of Education's subsidies, and that most 2 and 4 year colleges get. Just to put it in perspective, I think Temple University got a $19 million check. We got a $580,000 check, of which roughly half of that has to go to students, and the other half can cover the costs that we're incurring through the whole process here. The sad part about for us was the school was on an incredible rebound. It was fully loaded with students, and things were booming. It really cut us off of a trajectory that was really looking positive. Our efforts, and it's hard because you're teaching, as John said, we can do IT stuff remotely. We quickly ran out of a lot of the activities for students and the instructors to perform remotely when everything is hands-on, because it's mostly trades training and you need to be in front of equipment. So, so that's been a big challenge for us. Our career services is doing, doing well, actually, finding new ways of doing business. And, the important part about this is that, it really brings to light the struggles families are having and issues. So we're certainly having deeper conversations and providing supports to individuals who are feeling isolated. We have clients that are career counselors are watching through Zoom, watching Jeopardy together. Just a way of trying to calm people's anxieties and fears. And a lot of our staff are doing things like that.
Thank you. Thank you, Jay. We're going to move on for our updates because we're going to, I think, run out of time. I've got David Marcoux next, but is David on the call? No, David's not on the call. Is Paul on the call from Detroit? Paul.
Yes. Hi.
Hey, Paul.
Hello.
How is everybody doing?
Hanging in.
So we're doing quick 2-minute updates here, Paul, and then we want to get to the agenda.
2-minute updates. Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's see. What are we still doing? We are doing our job search and financial literacy, our business and career services for the community, continuing to do that remotely. Quickly, we're able to move staff to Zoom and phone calls and webinars and stuff. And they did a great job transitioning there. With our contract with Amazon, they continue to have needs for staffing and we continue to provide those staffings. Our career centers are operating and supporting people all remotely as well. And so that is moving forward. A majority of our services for people with disabilities have ceased for a moment. Our services for our older, our day program for people with dementia obviously is on hold. We continue to do our Source America contracts and have staff out there, probably about 140-ish people that are working on those janitorial contracts and mailrooms. And we are doing hero pay for those groups. And we have furloughed about 140 some individuals, and we are trying to figure out, we were fortunate enough to get the payroll protection loan, and so we are spending this week figuring out how and when and where to bring people back so we can start planning for reentry into the world, whatever year that happens. Two minutes, good.
Thank you. We're hoping to do that, have that discussion as we move on. Thank you, Paul. Karen from Columbus, you're on.
Two minutes, make sure.
Yeah.
Even under 2 minutes, really, really high level, if you don't mind. We're going to
Run
out of here. Yeah.
We've also moved everything remote, and that includes our counseling and case management, senior services, as well as workforce. So that went relatively smoothly. In response to John's comment about, concerns about funders, we did just get, the city just renewed some human services agreements as of Monday night. So we were relieved there. That supports a couple of our workforce programs, but that'll be a concern. And we're trying to do more and more with technology, looking at virtual hiring events. Our one stop that we help run is doing virtual hiring events. And Jerry, I'd love to hear more about your platform and your new portal. Love to connect some of your team with our team about some of those types of issues.
Thanks, Karen. Next, I have Deborah from Louisville. Is Deborah on with us?
I am. Hi, everybody.
Hi,
Okay, on the sunny side of COVID, yes, we moved really quickly. We closed our doors on the 13th of March and opened them virtually on the 16th, and it would have taken 18 months to move to telehealth and remote service. So I'd say that's the win for us, and our team has moved along to it. The things that we're doing in person are, we've moved our consumer choice food pantry to just once a week service curbside pickup and delivery, porchside delivery. And we continue our home care work and medically necessary trips for seniors, a transportation service. Those are probably the top of mind for me of concern about worker safety and client safety and what our not just our practical steps, but our responsibilities in that area.
Great. Thank you, Deborah. Sarah from Pittsburgh.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sarah. I'm the director of the Career Development Center at JFCS Pittsburgh. As far as we are pretty much operating remotely, except our food pantry does remain open daily, and we are doing food delivery services. So we are still meeting people there. And then for guardianship, we are still going into homes to meet with people who are under supervision for us as guardians. Everything else, refugee services, legal services, counseling, career services, that has all moved into a virtual format. And much like you guys were talking about, we've been able to transition a lot quicker than we thought it was going to be possible. So what we thought was going to be very, very challenging ended up moving a lot quicker. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, Sarah. I'm not sure, is Sarah from Denver on? I don't think so. No, Sarah. Is Todd here? Todd's here, I think. Yeah. Go ahead, Todd.
Yep, sure. Thanks. So, you know, I think we feel pretty lucky that most of our services have been able to continue. Earned income revenue streams are there, grants, etc. So we haven't had to do any layoffs or furloughs. And we've been even able to keep staff whole if some schedules had to be decreased as, you know, client service changed. About 50% of our staff is still doing high touch in-person service, mostly hospice, home care services, medical transportation, things like that. The other things went virtual, mental health and specialized employment and care management services. And for us, it's, you know, managing the safety concerns, keeping up client service, and then shouldering new expenses like another $80,000 a month of PPE and $100,000 a month of hero pay for those frontline staff. Those are the new areas of burden.
Great. Thanks so much, Todd. Allison from Denver.
Sorry, I just want to introduce Kylie McLeaf is on, and she's our new chief operating officer. So I wanted her to get to meet all of you, and hopefully you'll be seeing her at some time when we can convene live again.
Great, thank you. Welcome, Kylie. Allison from Dallas.
Hi, you're all supposed to be here right now or soon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you're not. So we do miss you. We are still doing our Meals on Wheels. We are still doing our clinical. Our food pantry closed because what we did was partner with two other food pantries and led everybody to that to be more efficient. So all of our food went there, some financing. But we are opening again on May 1st. We used to do consumer choice, and now we're doing shelf stable pickup. One box, 25-pound box that North Texas Food Pantry will give us, and then a box of produce. We are doing a lot of webinars and articles. A lot of them are on mental security, mental safety, as far as how people feel. One of them is on change management, you know, and how that affects people. Our program is a holistic program. It's career and financial coaching. So we have found right now that we are doing have been trained and certified financial coaches, all of the employment coaches also. And what we're finding is a lot of people are leaning towards the financial coaching as well as the career coaching because of their concerns and worries. Our program is called Working Family Success. And so we try to meet the needs of the people where they're at and then expand that. We are starting to do Zoom trainings next week. And we got the PPP grant. And so we've had no layoffs or furloughs.
Okay. Thanks, Allison. Is Beth here from JVS Rails? No. Lois is here from Montreal. Lois.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm just going to limit myself to the employment side of OMETS. Not going to include any of the mental health, financial, and all of that. So in a nutshell, in 2 seconds, we've moved everything online. We're using Zoom mostly. We've developed new training, the way to manage during COVID-19 and so on and so forth. So we've developed some more trainings online. Everything's gone on there. We've had limited layoff. We have a long list of layoffs to do, which were planned, you know, as we were going forward. And every time we're about to lay off, our federal government announces another pot of money. And so we pull back and wait. And then a couple of days later, we start going on to it and so on and so forth. So right now, we've only laid off a temporary layoff, a handful of people. There will be another one coming tomorrow, actually, another handful of people. And those are the ones that actually have children at home and cannot work, or the delivery of service is impossible. So basically, we've got everything going online, and we're working with Zoom, interviewing clients. We've even had a few jobs, people mm-hmm. got jobs, which I'm amazed. So that's working very well. That's pretty much it. We basically pull back and we keep on planning to do more and then pulling back. But tomorrow, I believe there will be another one. The other thing, in terms of the money, because that's, we get most of our money from our federation, we have basically managed to control that so that we're getting the money. So as long as we can get that money and the pressures are not there, we're going to keep everybody on staff. However, our senior managers, our executive, and today, as of today, all our managers will be taking a mandatory a salary cut of a percentage commensurate on their salaries, their income. And we won't get back, obviously, but that's what we're doing in order to save our frontline workers with salaries that are less and who are mostly younger and have an awful lot of financial burden.
Wow, that's tough. Thank you, Lois. Thanks for sharing. Sheila from Tampa.
Thank you. So at Tampa Bay Job Links, our one-on-one coaching went virtual, effective on the 16th and of March, as many of you have said, and we're using Zoom for that. Our workshops, we had our first workshop today that was virtual, so we were very excited to launch that. And we now have a mental health counselor, so that we are able to extend our programming options to allow people to work with a mental health counselor. And that's been a great addition. We have not laid off any staff, and our PPP loan was approved yesterday. So we were very excited to receive that. And we thank our network for all their help in doing that.
Thanks, Sheila. Great. Thanks, Sheila. Is Joan on the call from Baltimore? No. Okay. Kathleen? I'm not sure where you're from, Kathleen.
Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah. So we are also in our fifth week of working remotely. Similar to everyone else, a lot of the non-career employment services, we fast-tracked into telehealth. Our foster care program is moving forward. We have residential programs for people with disabilities. Unfortunately, our divorce specialty center has been seeing additional service requests. So that is something that we've seen with COVID. Related to other things, we created a warm line since we do have some clinicians that are available. So we have a number folks can call if they're feeling anxious and anxiety, overwhelmed. We created a Facebook page for parents with children at home so that they could connect with us. And we have story time and crafts and different things to keep folks engaged. We've received additional money for our financial assistance program. So we're working on ways to get that out quickly to impact folks that need that. On the career and employment side, we have some state and federal contracts. Some of them are maintaining as is, and some of them have asked specifically, mostly in our janitorial Ability One Source America contracts for additional cleaning and the shifts. With the FAA, all four air traffic control towers within Chicago, the VAs, the hospitals, the pharmaceutical dispensaries, those areas, they're asking for additional support in those times. Our pharmacy technician training class has been turned into a virtual one, so we've fast-tracked that from an in-person format into an online class. Our disability services are continuing. We are job coaching via phone and video conferencing, supporting folks, but we have received significant number of clients that we're working with that have received layoff or furlough notices. We have been able to keep all of our staff whole. We did receive approval for the payroll protection loan, so that was good news on our part. And we have seen, in some cases, some more larger group settings of our motivational accountability, some of our workshops, some of our community service programming, increased attendance via internet video conferencing. And also I just add, if anyone has any good ideas of how to recognize staff and show appreciation during this time, either share them here or feel free to email me. We're looking for creative ways to make that connection and tell our staff how wonderful they are during these times.
Great, thank you, Kathleen. I think that's everyone. Did I miss anyone? Wonderful. I'll just give you a brief update from Toronto. So JVS Toronto, we are up and running fully virtually. All of our government programs, those contracts have continued. So that's very fortunate for us. We can keep everybody employed. We have varying levels of engagement of employment. You know, some people from a technology perspective are very comfortable with the virtual. We've been very creative in developing new workshops. So there's the silver lining there. However, we do have a fee-for-service program that is suffering the most, and it's our psychological services. And we're looking at innovative ways to keep those people working and trying to avoid layoffs. We did do contract terminations and casual as we're unionized, but we haven't had to lay off any seniority staff yet, so that's good. From an employer services perspective, we have been doing virtual job fairs this past year already and have had great success around that, so that's something that we will continue to do. Around jobs related to COVID, we've had a number of people, companies reach out to us, manufacturing companies who are shifting, you know, their services to either making masks or making hand sanitizer products and are looking for people to do that. Of course, long-term care facilities, personal support workers, all those essential service workers that people are struggling to keep employed with these restrictions we're trying to support. But I'm telling you, we don't have great matches with those jobs. The other thing that we're doing with our UJA is that UJA is organizing a joint fundraising initiative to support all the Jewish-funded agencies, specifically around COVID, and we're trying to work out the details of that. So that's interesting. So I'll stop there. So I'm just going to review our agenda. What we want to do is we want to talk about how we're responding specifically regarding the workforce during this time right now. And we also want to think about what people are starting to think about in terms of planning for the future. As we start to get back at work, how are we going to get ourselves ready? What do we anticipate happening, et cetera, et cetera. Also, Ruben and Lisa both have two new opportunities to share with us. I'm just wondering if maybe we want to do those first because they might stimulate conversation as well. So Ruben, do you want to go first with CVS Pharmacy?
Yeah, sure. As many of you know, the network and some of you actually have established partnerships with CVS Health Corporation. So we have been approached on behalf of the system, on behalf of our system, to partner with them in a pretty aggressive recruitment effort that they have underway. They're looking to hire over 50,000 full and part-time people, pretty much nationwide. They have a series of states where they have particular need. But there may be positions in states beyond those that, where they have a particular need. Our main contact there is Leslie Rice, who's a member of the network's board of directors. Mm-hmm. Leslie has indicated to me they are also sponsoring virtual job fairs and have been establishing partnership referral programs with partner groups throughout the country, and we are one of those partner groups. They view us as a partner. So they'd like to develop a rollout effort with us, with agencies in different states, to help them fill a range of positions. Some of them are you know, front of line, meaning retail, pharmacy, stocking, et cetera. And some of them are more behind the scenes, marketing and business operations, and they're not necessarily in the stores. So they're at a range of positions. I will share with you the states of sort of initial interest, Florida, New York, the greater DC region, which includes Maryland and Northern Virginia, California, Texas, Nevada, Illinois, and Hawaii. That being said, if you're in a state that I haven't mentioned, they very well may have a need there. Mm-hmm. So Leslie is prepared to do, for those agencies that are interested, a special meeting to sort of roll this out and to develop a plan to connect you on a more individual basis. So that's in a broad nutshell what this is about.
Okay, so should people reach out to you, Ruben?
Yeah, what's the next step?
Yeah, they should let me know if they're interested in having this conversation, and we will arrange a meeting with Leslie. It'll be this kind of meeting. And she's going to, I have some material that I could send you as well, which gives you a bit more background than what I've shared already. And we could go from there.
Ruben, what's your email?
It's rrotman at networkjhsa.org.
Okay. Any questions for Ruben on this, or? Sounds pretty clear. Sounds like a great opportunity. And why have they got such a push on hiring? I'm just curious.
They're in the pharmaceutical healthcare field, and they are expanding the number of sites, and they have a huge demand. Okay. And they're also managing a workforce that, they've had situations where they've had staff test positive.
Right.
And so they're managing a very fluctuating workforce. Mm-hmm. And they are a high pressure environment, needing to fill all those prescriptions and get all those supplies out. And they struggle. And so they have a commitment to hire, 50,000. They just launched this. They just announced this about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a new effort.
Thank you, Ruben.
So we have a pretty strong relationship with the regional folks here, but sounds like we should go through Leslie to make sure she's looped in.
I think so, because I think Leslie can help to facilitate a little bit more.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great.
Definitely interested.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, Ruben. Thanks, Todd. JPRO, Lisa.
So I don't know if you all know this, but we, the network is doing peer discussion groups with JPRO, which is the national organization that works with Jewish professionals. You probably all know that. And they asked us if we also want to provide webinars, trainings for JPRO, their membership, for people who have worked in the Jewish community who have lost their jobs. Now, I know that everyone on this call could potentially do that. I'm not exactly sure what it is that they're looking for, but I know they want to partner with us. So if you're interested in potentially doing that, email me and we can figure out going forward what they need. I know they're also thinking about doing support groups with social workers to discuss, you know, the feelings that have arisen, you know, for these staff members that are no longer working. So that's it. If you're interested, email me. And
yeah, I just want to add two pieces. The one field they are especially motivated to provide assistance for are the JCC staff. Nationally, the bulk of JCCs have laid off the majority of their staff. And so we're talking about a huge workforce. And there are several JCCs that have closed completely. Right. And so there's a large JCC staffing issue. And, you know, a segment of that workforce are people that have never worked anywhere else in their lives. And so they need to reinvent themselves. The other aspect I'll mention is that JPRO does have funding. They will pay the agency $150 per webinar, per training, class, etc. So if you agree to sponsor a 1 hour webinar, JPRO will pay you to do that.
Not sponsor, they lead it, facilitate it.
Yeah. You know, they're looking for training programs that they can roll out to the staff who have been laid off.
I see. So they'll pay the agencies to deliver webinar to staff in their network.
Yeah.
Not sponsored, but
it's also staff in our network, right?
Of course.
We're partnering with them.
It's any Jewish communal professional who has lost their job.
Yes.
Their prime motivation and where they think they're going to see the biggest need is in the JCC world. But you may get people signing on for these webinars who work in schools or in other Jewish organizations. But primarily, we're talking about large numbers of JCC staff.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Okay, so let's move to we have two topics we want to talk about is kind of what innovations we're currently doing now in the workforce realm. And I'm going to ask, because it can sometimes be a little bit of a free-for-all. If people just want to send a message that you have a comment, then I can invite you to speak. And then I'd like to wind up the meeting the last 10 minutes or so talking about kind of post-COVID. So current COVID, post-COVID, what we're thinking about in terms of workforce. And we heard in people's introductions some things already. Mm-hmm. So who would like to start?
Can I jump in and ask just kind of a generic question for folks? For, you know, one of the things that we're seeing, and I'm just curious if people are experiencing similar, is that people are not acting. Like job seekers are sitting and waiting right now. And I think it's something that we need to be aware of, that we're doing all this planning and we need to do this planning, but we're not seeing the community necessarily activate, right? They're waiting, they're in, and so I guess I'm kind of wondering how people are addressing and dealing with that, because that would really, that seems to be, especially for our community, of like, we're waiting for you, come on, let's go. And so just wondering how people are feeling in that space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Allison,
can I respond to calls, or are you just collecting topics now?
No, go ahead, Karen.
I would say we're definitely seeing that, and we're trying to kind of to get the word out as much as possible about the types of help we provide, but also trying to educate our federation, which has emergency funds available, and other funders in the community, that it's not unusual. We expect this to come a little later. We're at the very beginning stages. My concern is that they're going to use up all the emergency money, and there are going to be fewer resources, so that by the time we really see the need, the resources won't be there. So I feel like we have to do a huge job of educating people right now.
So we've
also been seeing this a lot, so we're trying to get out a call to action. We've been reaching out to the newspapers to try to push out stories about really talking to people about use this time, whether it's to get your GED or to take advantage of education, or even to just do the career kind of counseling that is looking at different industries or looking at different companies in your area. So really kind of trying to plan for the future. We have also started reaching out to funders to let them know that there are several tiers to this. So there's like the panic right now, and then there's the lull, and then unemployment runs out, and there's the panic again. So we've really started to try to focus our funding asks for when that second round of unemployment, we already perceive that coming. So right now, we're not just looking at people who are scared stiff, but maybe they think their jobs are coming back, or maybe they can't even work because they've got a bunch of kids sitting at home who aren't in school. So we're really trying to move the ask away from the panic of right now to when we know, you know, 20 weeks out, 30 right. weeks out, when people see their unemployment going, that's when the job search need is going to set in.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Sarah. Thank you. Jerry, you had a comment on this topic, and then we'll go to Allison on a new topic. Jerry?
Yeah, I mean, we are doing a fair amount of re-employment now. I think we've done 60 in the last 4 weeks. So that's a lot lower than we normally would do, but it's, you know, it's, because there are positions open, and you just talked about CVS, and there are two challenges right now that I think make employment or re-employment difficult. One, of course, is concern about job safety, health and safety. Mm-hmm. You know, we're normally in a situation when we're advising people, we take a pretty heavy hand about pushing people. You know, because we're doing staffing for companies, and we're doing this on a fee basis. And when somebody it's the right match, we push. We can't really do that right now. We actually changed our protocol, and we essentially say, look, here's the situation, here's the job. At the end of the day, you and your family have to make the decision as to whether you're comfortable. So that's one challenge, and that will last, at least in Massachusetts, I think, well into June. We're right at the peak right now, so that's not going to change for a while. The second is that, you know, to some degree, the Republicans who opposed expansion of unemployment were right. It actually is more, for at least between now and July 15th, you'd have to be making at least $16 an hour to make it worthwhile to go back to work. So, like, why would you? You know, particularly because school is closed, so your kids are home, and you don't have childcare because our childcare centers are all closed. Like, what the? Like, why would you go back? Unless, now that'll end, you know, that additional benefit in will end the middle of July, and July, that's not that far away. So I think to some degree we have to be thinking about in phases. We stood up this portal for now. But really, I'm expecting that the big wave of reemployment won't really start until the fall. I mean, that's kind of how I'm imagining this. And then when it does, it's going to be gradual, but it's going to be substantial. I'm also, just one last point is that I would imagine that in the next, what is it, number four federal package, I think that would be number four, maybe number five, there's likely to be additional re-employment dollars as the gears turn towards recovery, you know, so can move away from just the healthcare crisis, just massive unemployment to recovery. So for those who run career centers or, you know, can take advantage of, my guess is there's likely to be resources there.
Yeah. Thank you, Jerry. Those are really good points. And I totally agree with you around the incentives that are out there. So, you know, in Canada, we have even more money available to people, to companies during this time. So it does impact people's motivation. It makes it sound like it's negative and they don't want to work. I don't mean it to sound that way, but it does impact. It makes more sense to just stay put, stay home, take care of your kids, stay healthy, get the money that the government's giving you and wait until this passes. So going back to Sarah's point, it really does speak to making the plea out there to people is let's plan for the future. Let's not worry so much about right now. Let's plan for the future and getting ready for when we come back. Are there any other comments that people have around this?
I've got one, if I may. We're doing a program called One in a Million. And if you start applying and looking for jobs now, you're a leader. If you wait, you're going to be one in a million. And people are responding to that because I think they realize that even though it's nice getting this money from unemployment and the extra 600, it will not last. And so anyways, that's our program.
That's interesting.
Kim, can I jump in?
Yes.
I have to leave in a few minutes and I just wanted to say a couple things on this subject too. One is we're kind of getting the signal too that as crazed as the state unemployment system is right now, they can't even issue a check. So people are going to be waiting forever to get paid. So now is the opportunity to say you can wait and wait and wait and starve. There are these job opportunities for you. If they're getting recalled back to their employers,
yes,
unemployment is going to look for any reason possible to take their unemployment away because they want to save their piece of it. So there will be some pushback. I don't know how effective they'll be in that regard. And then finally, just one other thing, as we think and envision how we return, it's going to come in phases. And, you know, we're not going to be able to, you know, on whatever day it is that your state gets freed to start working, don't expect it's business as usual. You may have been serving somebody with 25 people in a classroom or 20 people in a classroom, and we may be facing restrictions to say, how do you still social distance? You come back with 10 people in a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Or you don't have walk-ins, it's by appointment only. So they're going to be things that we're going to have to be playing traffic cops around as we start this transition. So
thank you, Jay.
That's going to be, I'm sorry, I have to get on another Zoom conference call, but John's there. So
thanks,
we're all represented. Thank you all.
Good to see you.
Okay. Thank you. And those restrictions aren't going to be just for us as service providers. Those restrictions are going to be across all the employers that we serve, right?
So,
Sarah, did you have a comment?
Well, I'm just wondering if this is an interesting time, though. I'm thinking, like, just for our JFCS, we are county bound, county dollar bound, but with all of this innovation that's come up from moving to such a virtual format, I'm wondering if we could start reaching out to other counties or other places where we haven't traditionally seen funding come through and try to start assisting even more rural populations, maybe people that are struggling with suburban poverty or rural, or and see if there are dollars built into the system to better serve individuals like that, especially now since we're seeing kind of a tipping point of people getting technology in their homes from different government resources, schools, and then also internet being provided for free of charge.
This is actually the million-dollar question here, because Zoom has thrown the traditional catchment area boundaries out the window.
Yes, yeah.
And we already know from agencies that people are logging in and participating in offerings that you're all sponsoring that don't live in the communities that
right.
you normally think of as your communities. So it's a wild west out there now. I don't know what it all means. And I don't think the funders are fully even aware or know how to have that conversation. Right. Because so much of the different county funding, you know, and the provincial funding, it's very specific to those communities.
Yeah.
Might I just ask for some advice? And it doesn't have to be on this call. We're a small organization, and so we're looking at how are we going to build capacity so that we can serve more and more people and collect data. And so if anybody offline could offer a contact or connection about the programs, technology that you're using to client management systems, CRM systems, et cetera, we really need some assistance to quickly build that capacity so we're ready. Thank you.
Okay, Sheila, why don't you put your email in the chat so that anyone can get it if they have that.
Beautiful, I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm aware of time, it's 5 to 3. We've touched a little bit upon the future, but not really in a very big way. And Lisa and I are feeling like perhaps what we should do is set up another call to talk a little bit more about the future. We'll try and capture what people are currently doing, and maybe we can spend 2 more minutes around what innovations agencies are currently doing, anything that we've missed. Between your intro and our discussion now, is there anything we've missed that your agency is currently doing around innovations to support workforce? And then what we're suggesting is a meeting to talk about transitioning into post-COVID for a future meeting. No, everybody shared all their innovations in the workforce realm.
One thing that we're doing, we put a call to action for people in the hospitality field, and we got donations of $40,000. And wow. So many of the different restaurants or hotels that have had to furlough people are sending them to us so that we can assist with rent. And it's called the Chef Program. And we can go directly to that. And as it depletes, we put out another call to action.
Is this for jobs or this is to support?
No, this is just, jobs? This is financial assistance right now. What we do when they apply for the financial assistance, we ask them if they want resumes for either other jobs, like they've got somewhere else if their restaurant doesn't open or their hotel doesn't hire them back, or if they would like to look into other fields. So we're getting a lot of people to career through our financial assistance program.
Gotcha. Thank you, Allison. Any other comments that people want to add?
Yeah, Karen asked that we share platforms, technologies that agencies are using that have helped with the virtual service delivery. Should we just put them in the chats right now so that we can compile that? Or what are you thinking, Karen?
Yeah, if there's a way they can be compiled and shared, that would be great. I think that the chat tends to go, unless you're recording this, the chat goes away when
no,
the meeting
I
ends.
The chat. Mm-mm.
Okay, that'd be, oh, good. Okay.
Okay. Any other comments or questions before we wind up?
If anyone's using any kind of software that protects people's information during transmission, specifically around, I'm thinking of people that are working within CareerLink systems or who are getting social security cards. If anybody has any programs that they've used successfully in that area, I'd love to know those names.
What, you used programs that aren't successful? We'd love to know those names.
No, we're trying to find a program that it allows us to collect information securely and pass it through our system to other systems.
Okay.
Other systems with other agencies, you mean?
Through the state.
Yeah. Yeah, privacy is a huge issue around this stuff. And maybe that can be even a topic for our next meeting is around this, yeah.
I would be interested, and this is probably for our next meeting, but I didn't work here during 2008, and not that what we're facing now is going to echo exactly what happened in the Great Recession. But our services for employment are specifically to disability community, and we would expect there's going to be much broader need for career services for people. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering what lessons there are for us to take away and ways that we might be able to kind of redeploy or use existing staff versus having to build something entirely different or new. And my guess is you guys have much more experience that we can learn from in that way.
Okay.
Thank you.
And so frequency of meeting, Alisa will do a doodle poll, but in the next month, in the next 2 weeks, what are you thinking? What's people's preferences?
So this is moving so fast, I wouldn't mind on in 2 weeks. I'd never say that any other time in my life. But if new programs, new people, new monies, new anything, I think we should share them as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Nod your head if you think 2 weeks is good.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Good meeting, Kim.
Yeah, good meeting everyone. Thank you for your
time. Here we got lots to talk question about. Before you get off,
Kim. Thank you. Yeah?
Who's got a question?
Everybody was talking, this is execs, right? But I think if we're going to get into program stuff, should we be trying to bring some of our leadership on with us so they're hearing your ideas as well? How do we want to format that so it doesn't get stuck with us?
Well, I don't think we're going to talk about program stuff.
Okay.
The goal here is to talk about the workforce pieces. Okay. And although people are now also asking about some other stuff like virtual platforms, privacy issues, I think we want to be focusing on, I mean, the goal that Lisa and I talked about in having this meeting was to focus on the workforce piece of the work that we do in helping people get employed.
Right.
So you feel like maybe you need people closer to the ground?
Well, I'm not helping people get jobs.
Right? Yeah.
So there, it like that. That's our next level downs are the ones that are doing that work right now. Unless we're talking about
strategy.
Mm-hmm. You know, if we're talking about how we're doing virtual job seeking and doing that, I am going to do a horrible job conveying that to my program staff. And I think we'll miss something. But I also don't want to make this a 50 person meeting either. So I just, something for us to think about. Maybe next call is not, and then we do some presentations maybe that the people that are doing it well can do it for more of a webinar type of thing or something.
So Paul, you know, we have a workforce development mm-hmm. professionals group that Sarah, who was the top left on mine, Sarah from right. Pittsburgh, is one of the co-chairs. So we could, you know, present programs that we all think are exceptional to that group so that those are the direct service workers.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Because I think we do want to kind of focus on high level strategy, what we're thinking and what we think we need to be doing to get ready.
Yeah.
Great.
Yep.
I just, if we're going to start talking about how we're doing virtual anything, I would want my team to hear that firsthand. And
right.
So, but if we're talking high end, then we should stay at high end and right. then put those ideas down to Sarah and that team.
Yeah, good idea. Absolutely. Okay. She just got off, which is a shame because she would have said the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she'll be a part of both.
Great.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks, everyone.
So thank you all. Stay safe.
Stay Bye. Safe. Have a good day.
Karen, stay on for 1 second. Oh, well. Okay.
Bye. Safe, everybody.
Hey, Alfie.
Thank you.